I would like you to notice for the scripture reading tonight. These are very familiar passages of scripture to the most of you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36 said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Our Father, lead us further into this service tonight by the presence of the Holy Spirit, opening every one of our minds and hearts, O Lord, that you may speak to us tonight. And the man or the woman that needs help from God, may the Spirit, Lord, strengthen them. Thank God to accept Jesus tonight as personal Savior in his gracious name. Amen. From these verses of Scripture that I've read to you tonight, may I speak to you for a few moments on this subject, the world's greatest sin. Now, we put sin in different categories, and we think, well, perhaps this is the world's greatest sin, or that is the world's greatest sin, and so forth and so on. But, my friend, if you'll notice in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, in the 12th verse, he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The world's greatest sin tonight is not adultery. The world's greatest sin tonight is not murder. The world's greatest sin tonight is not cursing, not even cursing the Lord Jesus Christ. The world's greatest sin tonight is not stealing, and the world's greatest sin tonight is not drunkenness, although these are prevalent all around us, and we put them in different categories, but the greatest sin in the entire world tonight is the sin of unbelief. Yeah. If it was not for the sin of unbelief tonight in this congregation, every man, woman, boy, or girl that is present here, without having been born again and having the knowledge of Jesus Christ as personal Savior, would find Christ by the time this service came to a close tonight. It's the sin of unbelief that separates man from God and God from man. This was the sin that entered into the Garden of Eden when Eve began to listen. And she began to conceive this idea. She began to disbelieve the thing that God had told her. And by so doing, they begin to broaden and broaden the gap. And this happens in the life of many Christians today after they have been saved for a number of years. And they've gone down and down and down along the way. And they've slackened their prayer life. They've slackened the reading of the Word of God. And they've slacken off with that fire and that fervor of the Holy Ghost within their life, and then gradually and slowly, like a creeping paralysis of this sin, without making a great big to-do or some great big splash of itself, shall we say, gradually creeps in and undermines the thinking and gets hold to the reins of the heart, and unbelief takes the place of the faith and trust that one time we had in God when we were first saved and filled with the Spirit and the power of God, and it robs us of our blessing and steals away the glory of God from out of our heart. For unbelief hinders the Lord in his workings. And when I read such scriptures as Mark the 6th chapter, verses 5 and 6, Jesus himself, the Son of God, whom God gave the power of the Holy Ghost unto him. If you read in this 3rd chapter, even without measure God gave it unto him. When he returned home into his own homeland, it said he could not do many mighty works save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief as he went around about their villages teaching it. He marveled at such strong unbelief. And we question this today. Why is it, my friend, that unbelief steals steals in and robs that where faith ought to be active and producing. It's simply because, my friend, it's easier for man to say, well, I'm on the negative side and I don't believe God is able to do this or do that. And unbelief steals in and robs the blessing of God. And when that unbelief begins to creep in, it hinders the mighty moving of the power of the Holy Ghost. In every service that we come together, if we could overcome this great, tremendous world's greatest sin of unbelief, the power of the Holy Ghost would be falling like rain, and we would literally be having an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival every prayer meeting night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Friday night, because when our hearts are open and we believe God by faith, God does something. His miraculous work is there. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. My friend, it's because that we cannot believe. It's because we cannot grasp the faith. And as I talked to you this morning, my friend, about the body that God had prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it in order to let men know that He has felt like we feel. He was tempted like we were tempted, and yet without sin, He pleased God. And so He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. And Jesus could not do many mighty works because that the whole place said, is not this the carpenter? Is not this the son of the carpenter? We know who He is. We know His brothers. We know His sisters. And where does He get this mighty power? Where does He get these things that He's doing? We don't believe it. We will not receive it. And oh, my friend, tonight, if we could open our heart and cast out of our heart that sin of unbelief, God would be doing most marvelous things in this service right now. There would be a demonstration of power, thank God, such as we had never seen, simply if we could bring ourselves to believe God. Unbelief hinders the Lord in His working. Unbelief binds the hands of God. Unbelief hinders the very operation of the grace of God, because God so loved the world He sent His Son into the world that the world might have everlasting life simply by just believing. And God made it so simple that man cannot seem to get through and reach out and grasp it. I know so with me. I've heard others testify. I went to church. I listened to them sing, and I said, well, how can that be? How can that be that a man can believe it? Oh, that wonderful experience the night that I did go to the altar and knelt before God. When after a while, after I prayed and asked God, I said, God, I can't do anything about this sin. I can't do anything about that. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm hopeless and helpless. This is where God wants to bring the sinner. He's seeing that he can do nothing to help himself, and it depends entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I cried, God, just help me. And the light of God's marvelous grace broke in upon us. And if every man or woman in this congregation tonight could cry out to the innermost being, God, just help me right now. Help me, Lord, to believe. Hallelujah. You can't make yourself believe. It has to be prompted by the power of the Spirit of God to make faith really operate in your heart. But oh, when you open the door, this is all that God wants. Unbelief not only hinders God in His working and in His power in our life, it hinders and shuts out from the blessing of God. If you'll read in Hebrews 3:19, it said, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And Paul was talking about the children of Israel that God led out by the great miraculous hand across the Red Sea and through of this wilderness area and brought them up, as it were, to look right into Canaan's land. How they beheld it, my friend, but it said they could not enter in because their heart had unbelief in it. And God had to let them wander around out there for 40 years until the old crew died off that had seen the miracles and had seen the hand of God bring water from the rock, open the Red Sea, produce manna, send the quails into camp, all of these things. things. And yet, my friend, because the spies came back and said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, how their heart was filled with unbelief. Oh, would God tonight take that unbelief from us, hallelujah, by the power of His Spirit, and there be a revival meeting breakout such as we've never seen, because Israel looked at the things from man's standpoint. Israel got their eyes upon a man, and when you and I look at it through a man's standpoint, we begin to lose that faith that God wants us to have. Let's turn our eyes, thank God, from the natural. Let's turn our eyes from what man can do. Let's lift them up to the cross tonight, for on that cross hangs all of our redemption. On that cross hangs everything that you and I need tonight, my friend, and it will cause the blessings of God to flow. But unbelief stops that blessing. Two men said, we are well able to take it. Let's go and take the land. 10 said, we can't do it. And Israel's heart was filled with unbelief. And they died in the wilderness. They died short of the glory of God. They died short of drinking at those streams of water. They died short of the milk and honey that was flowing. They died short of my friend of Canaan's land. Oh, Church of the Living God, tonight let's rise above it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let's come out and thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and say, by His grace, we can do it. Hallelujah. We can march, my friend, and we can cause the blessings of God to continue to flow. If you don't believe it, you're sitting close to somebody. You begin to praise the Lord. You begin to touch God. You begin to let the fire touch your heart. And I'll guarantee it'll spread down that row of seats that you're sitting on, and everybody in a little circle around you begin to feel some of that atmosphere and some of the presence and power of God as it ministers through your heart and life. The world's greatest sin tonight, the only thing is stopping our churches. I thank God from battering down the gates of hell. The only thing is stopping us, brother, sister, from really marching on and filling our buildings, sending more missionaries, turning out more preachers, is the very sin of unbelief. It's got us in His grip. Preacher, what are you doing? You keep having more missionaries. You can't pay them now. You got so many out there, brother. We haven't failed yet. Thank God. Listen, God knows and God understands. And if we can keep marching, glory to God, the blessing will keep coming. The meal will not waste and the oil will not fail in the cruise. Let's don't stop the blessing of God by letting the sin of unbelief grip our hearts tonight. Die short of the gold of God. Unbelief keeps back the blessings from others. In Matthew's gospel, that 17th chapter, this poor man brought his son that was taken by the devil. When they could do nothing about it, Jesus said, bring him to me. And in the 20th verse, Jesus said unto them, they asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, the reason you couldn't cast him out is because of your unbelief. Yeah. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. This either is the word of God or it's not the word of God. Keeps back the blessing of God from others. Hallelujah. You and I that know God tonight as our Savior have been washed in the blood. You and I tonight that have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You and I that have been healed by the miraculous power of God. And I say it again tonight. Brother, I've been there and I've tasted it. I've had the touch of God. I've felt my bones snap in place. I've been raised from the sick bed. Brother, and I mean to go on, sickness or no sickness. If God wants to take me, brother, by one thing or another, it matters not tonight. I want to keep that river of blessing going out. I thank God to other men and women. Brother, God is just wanting to do a work in this crucial hour of darkness which you and I live in. I don't want to be guilty of the world's greatest sin of unbelief gripping our heart. The disciples couldn't cast him out. He said, if you've got faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, it'll be removed. It shall be removed. When I look at that mountain, right away I say, now don't you be a fool and say to that mountain, move. Brother, if I had pure faith, I wouldn't be a fool. Amen. Because he said, nothing shall be impossible to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Nothing shall be impossible to you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The 10 spies came back and brought their report and stopped the blessing to 2 million Israelites died in the wilderness. Oh, my heart cried today as I prayed and thought of this message. My God, is it just going to be a little few of us? I come back and said, well, I don't believe we can do it. I don't believe we can get the job done. I don't believe we can have revival in this day in which we live. Hear me, my friend, when I tell you that the blood has never lost its power. It still, thank God, has power, brother, sister, to cleanse men from sin. God is still on the throne tonight. His Son is still sitting at the right hand of God in that throne tonight, and they still have the authority, they still have the power tonight, and God's great heart is yearning to do exactly what he said. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever would believe on him, every sinner, every backslider, every person in here tonight without joy in their heart, if they could get rid of this one sin, there'd be a spontaneous revival break out, and men and women come up out of these pews tonight would be dancing and shouting and praising God in the Spirit, such as you have not seen, brother, because of this one little sin of unbelief. It's barring the blessing.
That's right.
It's stopping the river.
Jesus.
Think of it. God said to his servant Jonah, Nineveh is a wicked city, go down there and tell them, yet 40 days and I'm going to send a judgment on them. And Jonah didn't believe it. And Jonah held back the blessing of God from that wicked city. God knew what he wanted to do. And finally, when that fish vomited him up on the shore, Jonah said, God, I'll go.
Yes.
And what was it, one of the greatest revivals is recorded in the Old Testament. Amen. One of the greatest revivals, that it gives you the picture. And from the king on the throne, hear me tonight, brother, from the king on the throne to the pheasant in the barnyard, thank God, came down, brother, sister, and stripped himself and clothed himself with sackcloth and ashes, and would not feed or water his beast nor eat or drink. Peradventure God may change his mind. And God said to Jonah, Jonah, I see the repentance. Oh, that's all God is asking. They believed God. They believed the message that this prophet walked down the street with, and the entire city, brother, came down, thank God, from its unbelief and opened its heart. And God sent a revival such as not recorded in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. One man in his unbelief was holding back the revival. Are you that man? Are you that woman tonight? Could you break out of that unbelief in this service right now and let God shake you loose from it long enough to say, by the grace and the power of God, I'll accept Jesus. I'll take him and claim his blessing. Unbelief causes a departure from God. It caused Adam and Eve to lose their blessing. And if you'll notice in Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brother, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then you get a picture of this. When the famine hit, Naomi and her husband took their sons and departed into a foreign land because they said, we're going to starve to death here. Starve to death. You know, God's big problem today is not with the sinning world. God's big problem is with his sinning church. Amen?
Amen.
We panic. We don't think positive. We're always negative. We're going down the stream. God, we're not going to be able to make it. But in Ruth's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 20, they came back, and the children of Israel said, "Is not this Naomi?" And in verse 20, she said unto me, "Call me not Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, for the Almighty God has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and I've come back home empty." Oh, the Christian, my friend, tonight, that's standing between the blessings of God. My friend, it causes a departure from God. She lost her inheritance. Look in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke's gospel. And this young man came to his father and said, "Give me my portion of goods." He took it and he spent it and he squandered it in riotous living. And it was gone from him. He wanted it right now. Brother, sister, we've got to raise our eyes and look a little beyond the horses. And would you and I live tonight? And finally, when he found himself in the midst of the hog pen, my brother, sister, he said, "The servants in my father's house have more than enough to spare. I know what I'll do." Oh, if you're in that despondent state tonight and unbelief has gripped your heart, say with that prodigal, "I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father. Thank God, and I'll tell him I'm sorry that I committed this transgression. Forgive me my sin." You know, there's one of the most beautiful pictures that you will ever read in the New Testament. This boy was repenting and saying, "Father, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Just let me move in the servants' quarters out back." And all the time, the father was saying, "Bring the best robe we got in the place. Bring the best shoes that we got. Go get a new ring and put on his finger. Thank God. Go get the best calf that's in the stall and kill it. And let's make a big roast beef dinner and all the gravy and the trimmings." And this boy was squalling and bawling and saying, "Oh, Father, I'm not worthy. Just let me move in the servants' quarters. Let me live with the servants. Let me eat." But he was a son of God. Yeah. You are God's child tonight. Yeah. God has loved you. And God has paid the price for you. And God wants you. And God needs you. Hallelujah. And he invites you to come out of the altar of God. Hallelujah. And say, "Yes, God, I'm claiming the promise that you have given me. God, I want you to move in the servants' quarters." He that believeth not. Unbelief condemns the sinner. He that believeth not is condemned already. And he's under the curse and under the wrath of God.
Yes.
Unbelief drives man from God. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. You know that every person in here tonight without God, if he could move that one little barrier from his thinking faculties, whether it be his mind, his heart, or whatever part a man thinks with. I've been trying to determine really what he thinks with. The Bible says something about him thinking out of his heart as a man thinketh in his heart. And the other thing, Jesus said, "Let this mind be in you." You know, and they're so closely related and everything else. But I just said, whatever a man's thinking faculty is, if he can move that tonight, he wouldn't even have to move out of his seat to become a child of the King. His next quartet sing, "I'm a child of the King." Oh, glory to God of his love I'll ever sing. You know, God can save him right there. It just takes him. Zacchaeus couldn't even get out of that sycamore tree before he was saved. Jesus said, "Yeah, I'm going to your home with you." And he was sliding down that slick sycamore tree. He was trying to get down so he could repent and tell God what he would do about this. And he was already just like that when he moved that sin of unbelief. Yeah. Every person in here tonight that is not filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost could get the Holy Ghost before they could move up out of that seat and stand on their feet tonight, if they could even move that little barrier. You see how important it is? You see how great this thing is that's got us in his grip? And this is Satan's greatest tool. This is Satan's greatest weapon, my friend. And he brings things it against. And you said, oh, it's marvelous when we're in church and we're all together. I know that as well as you do. Brother, when the lights go out and it gets dark and you lay there and you can't sleep and you roll and toss and tumble, and then you begin to think and you begin to let all these things go through your mind and you quit trusting God and you begin to try to work them out and you try to do all of these things in the physical and you sweat and you roll and you tumble and you toss and you're so tired by the time it gets time to get up that you can't hardly get up and you're tired and it was when you went to bed and you haven't helped God, you haven't helped yourself. I know I go through this just like you. I'm a human being just like you are. And finally when I can move that little object out of the way, that little unbelief out of the way, and I said, God, this is your business and this is your plan, and God, you can take care of it. Oh, brother, sister, there's not a sinner in here tonight that's so black and so dirty and filthy, but what if he can move the unbelief? The blood of Jesus Christ will blot out his sins and cast them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against him anymore. There's not a person in here tonight that has never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If he could move there, he said, well, if I could get the baptism without talking in tongues, if you would just forget that, if you could just move this thing out of the way, brother, the baptism of sister, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is more than talking in tongues. Oh, yes, a million times more than just talking in tongues. Oh, thank God the baptism of the Holy Ghost is more. It's just the initial evidence that the Holy Ghost has moved in your heart. And you can expand and expand and enlarge. Oh, glory to God. Our brother and sister, but some people just don't want to pay the price. It's the greatest sin that's bearing men and women from God's revival.
Yeah. That's right.
Unbelief insults God. In Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 24 and 28, listen. He said, because I've called and you have refused, I stretch forth my hand and no man, you wouldn't even regard it when I stretch forth my hand. I also will laugh at you then when your calamity cometh. I'll mock you when your fear cometh. And then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer thee. Because unbelief in our heart has insulted God when God said, I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe him, just believe him, would have everlasting life. Amen? Oh, if you think about it, unbelief seals the sinner's doom. You talk about the unpardonable sin. And people sometimes said, well, I'm afraid that I can't do this or do that because I've committed the unpardonable sin. But when we let unbelief sit on the throne of our heart, it'll seal the sinner's doom. Oh, friend, he said in verse 36 of that third chapter, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. In John 8:24, he said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And then he said in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, this is the answer tonight. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, glory to God. Brother, sister, tonight he said again, you will not come to me that you might have life. All he is asking you to do is just believe that he is the Son of God. Just accept him. Isn't it that simple? Oh, if you claim this promise tonight, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the door opens, and faith has done its work, and the blood has been applied. And that man or that woman that needed God in their heart has found the precious anointing of Jesus Christ in their life. Oh, but he that believeth not seals his doom, and damned forever in the regions of hell, simply because he cannot move that little unbelief. Yet little, as we say, it's the world's greatest sin. world's blackest sin, unbelief. It gripped the heart of Eve and then Adam. And since that time, it's been squeezing the life out of an entire world of men and women dying without God and without hope in this world. Are you that person tonight? Are you that person tonight? Unbelief, the world's greatest sin. Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God